For those of you that are tuning into the CD's show today or the class, we're talking about going into business for yourself, having an entrepreneurial attitude about all that you do, looking for opportunities. I believe that there's a lot of opportunities that go unborn because people either lack the knowledge, the money, they think the money, the motivation to go and to get things started, and on and on and on. I have one of Bill Winston's CDs in my car. I listen to it every day. I've probably listened to it 25 times. He was talking about a young man had a vision of heaven, and he went to heaven and saw things there, spare body parts for people that had lost the body part, on and on and on. And he said there was a special room where there were inventions that have not been born into the earth yet. And he said there was a large angel there that had what looked like a large fly swatter because he said the demons will try to break into that particular compartment to steal ideas because they know that one idea can make you a billionaire overnight.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get a little bit more enthusiasm in it? Y'all need a cup of coffee. Y'all having the coffee in the car. So these are things that you really need to think about, and you need to stretch your mind to the point that you could see yourself doing some of these kinds of things.
Amen.
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 Well, instead of amen, can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right then. So you gotta kind of get that in you. It's kind of like knowing your ABCs, knowing the alphabet, knowing the multiplication table or the addition table. God wants you to get this stuff really inside of you. And I think it's very, very critical that you and I, that we do. So we left off talking about several things. I was talking about greed. Everybody say greed.
Greed.
God does not like greedy people. The Bible has so much to say about it. And it's something that you and I ought to take to heart. We were over in Ephesians chapter number 2. He said again, be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vices or impurity in thought or life, or one who is covetous, who has a lustful desire for the property of others and for greedy gain, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So it's important that we stay on this game or on this because, again, remember, and if you didn't get this in your notes, Luke chapter number 16, verse number 10, the man that is faithful with a little is going to be faithful with a lot. And I like to say it this way: if you take care of a little, then you qualify for a lot. So God knows that you can without a doubt be trusted, and on and on and on. So that is something that we covered that's very good, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9, I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely and habitually with unchaste, impure people. And then he goes on and talks about shunning individuals that are greedy, that are out to get what belongs to other people, on and on and on. When you do go into business for yourself, you have to be very ethical in your dealings with people. You have to be honest. You have to be upright. The Bible in Proverbs 11, verse number 3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. So in other words, you don't lie. If you took the cookie and your mama asked you, did you take the cookie? You look at your mama and you tell her the truth. Or I'm coming by the house, glory to God, and we're going to get down to the bottom of everything, all right? So this is the way that you operate. I was doing a deal last year with a young lady, and on the application, you may have heard me say this, on the contract, I forgot to write in the home warranty, which was $520. How many of y'all could use an extra $520 in your account right now? Amen. You could buy some pancakes with that. And so the closing department, the title company, finally called me, Rod, and they said, Billy Joe Watts, are they not providing a home warranty? I said, yes, they are. And they said, no, the seller says he's not buying one because it's not on the contract. I said, yes, no, it's on the contract. Well, there are two places on the contract that you have to write it in. The first place, you write in 520. The second place, you write in the owner or the seller is providing the home warranty for $520. I didn't write it in the second time. So I called the other agent and said, well, your seller said that they were going to buy a home warranty. And I'm crying. I'm almost crying. Hello. She said, I'm sorry, Billy Joe, but you didn't write it down. And this girl was going to hold me to it. I said, oh, Jesus' name. And so finally she said, I'll tell you what, I will split the cost with you. And so I said, all right, then. So I'm on my way getting ready to go to the closing. And the Holy Ghost says, it's your fault. Give that girl back her money. So I went back in and stopped by the bank, got a little cashier's check for whatever the half of that difference was. And I gave it back to her at the closing because she was absolutely right. It was my fault. And I can guarantee you that when that young lady sees our name come up on a listing that she's about to show, she'll probably do business with us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's the kind of integrity that as believers, you and I should walk in. Can I get one more amen?
Amen.
All right. Now let's pick up here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And, well, we might as well go verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2 says something very, very good. So, again, in business, this is the kind of integrity that you and I are to walk in. Now, while you're turning there, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, let me go back and make this statement, and because I don't know if all of you were here to hear it. One of the keys to becoming a millionaire, God's way, is to develop the characteristic of humility, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because remember, you're not anything that you have going on in your life. You're not there's no such thing as a self-made man. I don't even like the terminology. I've never used that terminology because a self-made man sounds like is a man or a woman who says, I've done everything that I've done without God.
Yeah.
And then if you're not careful, then you can fall into pride.
Amen.
And the Bible then says God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace. His ability to do what you cannot do in your own ability, he gives grace unto the humble. So these are things that we need to remember when you have it rolling in. Look at your neighbor and say, when it's rolling in.
When it's rolling in.
When you have it all rolling in, that is, you're making money, you have another cash flow, you're able to save, you have a fully funded, as Dave Ramsey would say, a fully funded emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months of your salary just sitting in the bank.
Amen.
Amen.
This doesn't include your savings. This is just in the case of an emergency, you have about $20,000 or $30,000 sitting in the bank, and that's not your couch fund.
Amen.
You need a new couch. No, you pull that out of your savings.
Amen.
This is your 3 to 6 month emergency fund that if you were to get laid off from your job or so, you have enough of your salary sitting in the bank that you could continue to pay your bills and live for 6 months and take a quick vacation maybe and take your time finding your next job. Maybe you need a little time off or whatever the case might be. But it's important, again, that you are thinking that way. Somebody said, Pastor Billy Joel, I've not been able to save any money in my entire lifetime. Well, first of all, we need to get you to start talking differently.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever say, well, Pastor Billy Joel, I can never save any money. Well, you could if you really wanted to.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can I get one more big amen?
Amen.
All right, then. I'll get out of the way. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy 3. Which verse?
Yes.
Number 2. Now, here's what he says. He's talking here about the qualification of a bishop. A bishop, superintendent or an overseer, this is the guy that oversees the churches and makes sure that there are pastors. You know, in the early church, they had to make sure because there was a revival going on and people were getting born again everywhere, they had to make sure that there were overseers, pastors, bishops that were there to make sure sure that the people of God were doing okay. All right. So now, because of everything that was going on in the early church, he goes into the qualifications of such people, the people that would be over other people that are getting born again in the body of Christ. Here's some qualifications for those kind of people. And then he goes on to say, the overseer must give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Another transliteration reads like this: he is a one woman's man. A one woman's man. In other words, he's got a Big Mac at home, but no fries on the side.
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Amen.
Do I need to get any plainer than that? All right, everybody say it's cool. It's cool, Pastor. It's cool. All right, no fries on the side. Because remember, you go to McDonald's or something and they say, would you like fries on the side? Y'all don't go to McDonald's?
No.
I don't go either. All right, then. All right, let me keep going. Circumspect, temperate, self-controlled. Everybody say self-control. You ought to have yourself under control. No slamming doors, no getting attitudes. Don't get mad at your mama, start screaming at her, your daddy, start screaming at her, and then tell him, this is just me. No, that's not you. You're out of control.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, get yourself under control. All right. Very important. Must be sensible, well-behaved, dignified, and lead an orderly, disciplined life. He must be hospitable, showing love and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers or foreigners, and be capable and a qualified teacher. Verse number 3, not given to wine. Somebody tell me what you think that means. Not given to wine. Alcoholic beverages, no wine, not a drunk. I'm going to say wine, beer, near beer, 3% beer, wine coolers, or all of the above. You want to maintain a good testimony with people that don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen to that now? Now, if you're at the bishop or if the believer is down at the bar, and I don't know why I'm going through this, but if they're down at the bar having a good time with everybody else down at the bar, then where's all the Christians at, right?
Right.
And somebody said, well, Pastor Billy Joe, you know, wine won't send you to hell. It might. No. Be careful. Not wine, not combative, but gentle, considerate, not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable, not a lover of money. And it goes on to identify that as an insatiable desire for wealth and ready to obtain it by questionable means. So you and I have to live this way and walk this way. And even though God is in the business of increasing you, may the Lord increase you more and more, blah, 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 blah. There's so many things that are going on in these areas. And God really does want you to be blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say this: the Lord is increasing me.
The Lord is increasing
me more and more,
me and my family.
And God wants that for you. He wants you to have things, but he doesn't want things to have you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I was out with we were talking to a group of ladies while we were at the conference here recently, on and on and on. And they said, oh, my God. And they were one by one walking up saying, do you recognize this? And I said, I don't recognize that. Why? Or should I? And I said, yes, your wife blessed me with this. And I thought, oh, really? Okay. Come find out, my wife had been mailing things to people and sending folks stuff for their birthdays and just being a blessing and on and on and on. And then another lady walked up and said, do you recognize this? I said, no, should I? She said, well, you should, because your wife mailed this to me and blessed me. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. I just said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't tell her that was one of my favorite outfits that my wife had. Amen. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And then another lady walked up and said, oh, my God. I overheard her say, oh, my God. And she had held out her wrist like this. And there was some rusty cuffs on it. I thought, oh, Lord, my wife been at work. And she said, oh, thank you so much. Oh, my God. And gave her a thank you note and on and on and on. So when I saw this, I jumped in and I said, my wife shops. There are times that she will shop with the thought in mind of blessing someone else. She said, if this doesn't work out, I'll give it away.
Amen.
And I looked at her, I thought, well, you give me something. And she shops with the thought in mind of being a blessing to someone else.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen to that. And I'm saying that because she's not hearing that this morning. But the whole idea that if you can do that, you know, generally when I would go down to K&G and do some other things, I would buy a bunch of ties. Even if I didn't like it, I would just like them. I just pull some ties off the rack and I just thought, well, it looks okay. Well, I'll just match it up with my clothes when I get back. If it doesn't work out, I'll give it away. I have some stuff in my closet right now that I bought at a sale last year. I bought this stuff at a sale for $5. Everybody say $5. I walked in and I said, how much are those? And she said, $5. I said, $5. She said $5. And so I bought about 3 or 4 of those. And then I ended up losing some weight. And so I can't wear them. So I'm going to have to get rid of that stuff.
Amen.
What's your size? Hello, what's your size? So, I mean, God puts you in a position to be a blessing to other people. Can I get an amen to that? I was talking to someone just the other day, and I remember the gentleman we talked about who had died about 4 times, and they hit him with the defibrillator, clear, pop, pop, shocked his heart, and the man came back. Well, I had a chance to visit him at the hospital, wanted to hear his testimony and his story. I thought that maybe Jesus or his guardian angel or an angel, somebody had appeared to him while he was out. He said, no, I didn't have that experience. He said, but while I was having my heart attack, I had this great pain. I was in a lot of pain, and I knew I was about to pass out. And I told the Lord before I passed out that, Lord, my life is in your hands. Come to find out, he had been raised in the Baptist church his whole life. He was a God-fearing man. He loved God. And I told him in the meeting, I believe that God has a purpose for your life, and I came with a message. And he sat up on the side of the bed and said, what's his eyes were this big. He said, what's the message? I said, God is not through with you yet, and I see some men in your future that God wants to use you to touch and to be a testimony before those men so that they can live for God. So I God used me to minister to the guy. To God be the glory on that. And we talked about it, and remember, he is. And I have a point for telling you all this, so hang on. Just look at somebody and say, hang on. And so his little 10-year-old boy, when the father went into the hospital and it looked like he was going to die, and then the little 10-year-old boy ran out of the hospital, ran out on the street, and fell on his knees on the ground. And his mother runs after him and kneels on the ground with him and says, son, what is going on? And he said, Mom, I was just on my knees praying for Dad. I don't want him to die. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, the little boy rose up and he walked back in the hospital just like this. And the mother said, son, what happened? You went from being distraught to what happened? He said, while I was on the ground praying, the man told me that Dad is going to be okay.
Amen.
Whether he is on the earth or whether he is in heaven, he's going to be okay. Now, who do you think the man was?
An angel.
Maybe even Jesus appeared to the little boy, spoke audibly to the little boy that his father was going to be okay. Now, this is the reason why I'm telling you this story. Because sometimes, and I'm not going to offend you by saying, sometimes my wife says, you didn't say that right. So I want to say this right, because I don't want you to walk away offended this morning. But I'm going to say it this way. There are times when I start talking about an entrepreneurial spirit, when I start talking about investments, when I start talking about maybe buying a few rental properties or whatever the case might be, so that you can have that cash flow, positive cash flow coming in from your rental rental properties every month. When I start talking about baking cookies and selling those, like Famous Amos, y'all remember Famous Amos chocolate chip cookie? And that brother had a recipe. He started selling them, man, boom, and he just bow, shabam, shaboom, ba 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 ba, and just blew up. Praise the Lord. Famous, I don't know if Wally Famous Amos is still alive. I think he is. I'm not sure. I never heard that he died. But I mean, he went from making cookies, baking muffins. And now, if you want him to come and speak, if he's still alive, this I knew this before because I looked it up. If you wanted him to come and speak at your for your organization about how to become famous by baking cookies, you'd have to pay him $10,000 to $20,000 for coming in and speaking for your organization. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine you make $20,000 every time you go out and make and speak to people and make a presentation? What an I mean, let's say you did that once a month.
Yes.
How much is 20,000 times 12?
240.
It'd be how much?
240,000.
How many of you could use an extra 240 right now? Maybe you got enough. Oh, bro, two hands and a leg. All right. So all I'm saying is that God has all of these avenues of helping you and working with you and getting you out there and doing things in your life. And you have to see yourself doing things.
Amen. Amen.
Don't ever say, I could never speak to a group like that. Yes, you could if they said, we'll give you $20,000. Wouldn't you find a way to do it?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yes, you would. Of course you would. You might even do it twice. Hello. So I'm saying again that with the little boy, back to the little boy again, that supernatural things are real.
Amen.
They're real. What God endeavors to do for us and through us, these are things that are real. Doors that can open for you supernaturally, that's real. Unexpected things that God will send into your life and into your care because you have proven yourself to be faithful. Come on, give me an amen now.
Amen.
Because somebody said, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, Pastor Bill Joe. I've been doing it for a long time, and nothing has happened. Well, keep on doing it, because just when you're on the brink of quitting is when God shows up.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, my breakthrough is here. My breakthrough is here.
Breakthrough.
So you got to remember that. You got to talk like that. You can't ever give up and you can't ever quit. All right. So these are things that you and I need to remember. Now, let me switch over, and I want to cover. And I know I said that there were things I wanted to give you what you need to do. 16 things you need to do before you die. I'll hold those for next week because I want to go here. In his book, The Richest Man in Babylon, George Clason has a chapter called The 7 Cures for a Lean Purse. The 7 cures for a lean purse. Let me give you the 7 cures for a lean purse, and then we'll pray, and then we'll end there today. All right. The 7 cures for a lean purse. Somebody said, did men used to carry purses? Not the kind of pocketbook like the women have. Not they didn't have these straps and carry a pocketbook like the ladies. A purse was really a pouch that a man carried all of it. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. They didn't have wild wallets that went from the purse to the wallet, but a purse was something that he carried his coins in and other valuable items and on and on and on. So don't you get it twisted. All right. Praise the Lord. The 7 cures for a lean purse. Remember, the purse was the little pouch that had all of his money in it. And there were times that he could have been a little lean where his purse were concerned. All right. So cure number one, here they are. Cure number one is this. Start your purse to fattening. Start your purse to fattening. Remember, you use the example in the book of the egg merchant. If you have 10 eggs in your basket each morning and you take out from it each evening one egg, over time, your basket will overflow. So he said, if you got 10 eggs in a basket and that you start the day with, and every night before you go home, go to bed, whatever, you take one egg out and you use the 9 other eggs during the whatever, over time, your basket will be overflowing. So start your basket to overflowing. So take an egg out. Look at somebody and say, take an egg out.
Yeah.
Don't use all of your eggs. Don't fry all of your eggs. Don't scramble all of your eggs. Save an egg. Look at somebody and say, save an egg.
Save an egg.
And sooner or later, lo and behold, your basket will be overflowing.
Amen.
All right. Dave Ramsey says it this way. Pay yourself after you give and tithe. Pay yourself, then pay your bills. Somebody said, Pastor Billy Joel, I don't know about that. I got a lot of bills. I got a lot of bills. Well, we'll talk about that here in a minute in one of the cures for fattening your purse. One of the cures for a lean purse. You got to watch that. You got to watch your expenditures. So you may not need those shoes. You may not need the hat. You may not need the new car right now. You may not need the donuts. You may not need to drink. I told you guys, you know my testimony. I was addicted to Diet Pepsi. And if I couldn't get a Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke would do. And I would drink those all day long. Just lunch, Chinese food. Oh, Lord. The rice tastes better going down with the Diet Pepsi. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen?
And I was going for it. I don't know how much money I spent on them, but I spent a little bit of money. And if I didn't have a 2-liter, and then at the time in my office at the church, back at Rhema Bible Church, they would put sodas in the refrigerator. So I didn't even have to go out and get them. For 50 cents, I could just run down, 35 cents, I could just run down the hallway and get one. And I would drink 3 or 4 of those in a day, in addition to the 3 20-ounce glasses that I had at the Mexican restaurant that I visited on that day. I was going for it. I had stock in Diet Pepsi. Come on, somebody say amen to this.
Amen.
Right? But finally, 7 years ago, I kicked the habit and woke up one morning and said, I'm done with that, and walked away from it and never went back. Number two, control thy, and they put, this is their language, not mine from the book, control thy expenditures. Control what you're spending your money on. You little teenagers run around here, act like, well, you don't have no money. You have more money than you think you have. Your mom and them give you more money than you think you have. In fact, it may not be a bad idea for you to work a little bit more. Put your hand in something to help your mom and them. Make your bed. Well, you don't get paid for that. That's your bed. You slept in it. Make it. Pick up your clothes. Pick up your toys. There are other things. Over the years, I've had some teenagers come by my house and help me work, and I paid them something. So they weren't old enough to get a part-time job. I said, I got a part-time job for you. You need to come see me. And they came and saw me, and I had them do some things. Had a little girl come out and rake, not rake, but plant flowers in my wife's garden 1 year. And every 5 minutes, she would quit. Pastor Teresa, I'm tired. My wife said, you've only been working for 5 minutes. Then she had her iPod. And then she was texting friends. And then my wife went out there and took everything from her. And said, you're supposed to be focused on working. Give me that stuff. And took it all from her. All right? So you need to watch your expenditures. Come on, give me an amen now.
Amen.
You young people that are making money, it would not hurt you to become a tither.
Amen.
You know, we think these principles are only for the old people or the older people. No. These principles. We have a young girl that started at 7. She's 12 years old and her business is blowing up. And I can guarantee you her mom and dad they encourage her to tithe.
Yeah.
right?
Amen.
10% of everything that comes in belongs to God. We honor God first, and then we go from there. All right? Number three. Make your gold multiply. Make your gold multiply. And this, again, one-tenth of it, save one-tenth of all your gold. Again, he's talking about, again, savings, putting some away. 10% is my tithe. 10% is my savings. I live off 80% of whatever comes in. You gotta make that a goal. If you're not tithing right now, if you're not saving right now, if you're living off of everything that comes in, I encourage you to start somewhere. You have got to get on God's economic system. I was thinking about it earlier today on how blessed Pastor over the last 30 years, how blessed Pastor Teresa and I have been. I mean, we look back on it and we are blessed. From the time that we gave a man $1,500 and he was going to help us buy our first home and la, 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 and that joker disappeared and took our $1,500. Hello?
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, don't do that.
Don't do that.
All right? If somebody tells you we can help you buy a home and you give it and you just give us $2,500 and da, da, la, 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 you call me on the phone right away. Because you shouldn't be giving anybody $2,500 to help you buy a house.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? Shouldn't be doing that. And I won't go into the detail. Number four. Here's number four. Number three is make your gold multiply. Number four, guard your treasures from loss. Guard your treasures from loss. The first sound principle of investing or investments is to secure thy principal. In other words, if you have $100,000, you want to guard that $100,000 from loss. What you do is you invest it, and then with the interest that multiplies, blah, 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 you keep the $100,000 there. And if you need anything, if you have to do anything, then you do that based upon the interest off that money. Guard that. Now, I'm going to say something right here. It's not going to shock you, but I need to say it. Guard your treasures from loss, which also means your grown kids that come back talking about every month, I need $1,500. You need to guard yourself from them as well.
Amen.
So how are you going to give all your retirement away?
Right.
You've worked your whole life to save money, and now you mean to tell me you got to give all your money to your daughters, your kids? No. Guarding your treasures from loss means guarding your treasures from family members who are always trying to hit you up to get a loan because they're too lazy to work. Can I say that in here?
Yes.
Right on. I said it.
Amen.
All right. So you got to guard yourself. There are times that you're saving and believing God for things and on and on and on. And your kids, Christmas is coming, and your little blessings are running around with their little Christmas list, with the Foley's department store magazine talking about, I want everything in the magazine. Guarding your treasures from loss, it would not hurt you to say to your kids, you need to believe God for it.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes. You're believing God. How come your kids can't believe God? Am I right about it? They should stretch their faith. They should release their faith to believe God, that God will bring things into their life. The little car they want, the new bicycle that they want, the new pair of tennis shoes that they want. You are not their source.
Amen.
And you do them a big disservice if you don't teach them how to trust God.
Amen.
That's why I love it when the parents have these little first graders and these little 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds coming to church with their offering in their hand. What? You're teaching them to rely on God. And if you don't teach them to rely on God, you're doing them a disservice because they're going to grow up and rely on you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Had to look at somebody, Brenda. You were the closest. All right. So you need to remember that. Guard your treasures. No, guarding your treasure means no get rich quick schemes.
Amen.
If somebody calls you up and says, Miss Helen, I got some land in Broken Arrow. They know that there's gold on it and you can get in on it for $2,500. Amen. Call me right away.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just tell
him
go talk to me.
Huh?
I just tell him go talk to me.
You tell him go talk to me. Guard, call me right away because there's something wrong with that. We got to watch that. Got to watch it for sure. Number five. Let me give you three more and we're done. Number five. Make thy dwelling a profitable investment. Make thy dwelling a profitable investment. To a man's heart, it brings gladness to eat the figs from his own trees and the grapes of his own vines. Become a homeowner, in other words. This is still a great investment. We have a first-time home buyer just the other day. And we turned her over to our lending officer, our mortgage officer, our lady with all the money. When it came back, Janelle found her. They asked for $6,000 in closing money from the seller. And the seller said, yes, I'll give it to her. And then we found some first-time homeowner's money to the tone of another $8,000. How much is $6,000 plus $8,000? How much is that?
$14,000.
What? Are you sure?
Sure enough.
She said, sure enough. $14,000 we found for a first-time homeowner. And I hope she doesn't hear this tape, but she looked at my wife and said, I'm not sure if God wants me to buy right now. That money may not be available later, baby. God wants you to buy right now.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Everybody say
$14,000.
$14,000 she was given to move into her own home.
Amen.
And she's a first-time homeowner. All right? So there's all kinds of things out here that God is wanting you and I to do and to be able to do. But if you get afraid and intimidated by the home buying process, you might miss out on $14,000.
Amen.
Hello? I heard a story the other day of a guy that's about 23 years old. This guy owns 20 rental properties, and he's only 23. He's been buying homes since he was about 18 years old. Praise the Lord. He'd buy the first one, move in it, stay in it for 2 years, and then move out and buy the next home. All right. All right. Let me keep going. Number six, ensure future income. Ensure future income. Number six, cure number six. It behooves a man to make preparation for a suitable income in the days to come when he is no longer young, to make preparation for his family should he no longer be with them, to comfort and support them. A man may buy houses and lands for this very purpose. All right. So investment accounts, IRAs. We'll talk about all of this next Sunday. IRAs, TSA, individual retirement account, some gold, some silver, precious metals, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I know people right now, they collect precious coins and certain nickels and pennies that bring in $100,000, $50,000 for one little old raggedy looking penny. But it's worth something.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? So you got to be thinking future now. Don't wait until I'm going to wait until I'm 40. Pastor Watts, I'm only 18 right now. I'm going to wait until I'm 40. No, you can be thinking this way now. Ensure future income. Here's the last one. Increase, number seven, increase your ability to earn. Somebody said proceeding accomplishment must be desire. Your desires must be strong and definite. General desires are but weak longings. For a man to wish to be rich is of little purpose. For a man to desire five pieces of gold is a tangible desire which he can press to fulfillment. After he has backed his desire for five pieces of gold with the strength of purchase to secure it, next he can find similar ways to obtain 10 pieces and 20 pieces and then therefore become very wealthy. Man, more than desire, you have to act on what you believe. Say it. I have to act on what I believe. So the things that we're talking about, we got a couple of more classes to go, and I'll bring back 16 things you need to do before you die. I'll give you a list of things. For my teenagers, a savings account. $1 in an account at Arvis Bank will open you up a savings account. Everybody say $1.
$1.
Surely you have $1. Walk the dog, babysit the cat. You can make a little money from there. All right.